Good afternoon, everyone. In Sanhedrin, we are going to continue from what we left off last week. We're doing the third parak of the Masechta, and our basic goal is to do things a little more topically than go over the Gemara. But I will also, in addition to that, also go through the Gemara as well.
We covered so far everything on these two.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Yes.
We did.
Yes. Absolutely correct. We're new topic this week. Okay, the third paragraph of Sanhedrin talks about Dina Mamonos. It talks about monetary law, in which the Mishnah brings down a machlok between Rav Meir and Chachamim on three different issues. Let us take a look at the Mishnah together. We didn't even see the entire Mishnah yet. Let's look at the Mishnah. Mishnah starts off Dina Mamonos v'shoshet, that when you have a monetary court, you need three. Mishnah goes on, Zebra lo'echa v'zebra lo'echa v'shembra lo'morechat. Divrei Rabbi Meir. One will choose one, the other choose another, meaning there are two litigants. Every time you have a court case of monetary law, there are going to be two litigants. One chooses one, the other chooses the other. And they're going to choose a third. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir v'chachamim, m'shnei dayanim barim lam od echad. And the chachamim say no, that the process starts off the same. Each litigant is going to be choosing a judge, but then you'll have the two judges choosing the third judge, but you will not have the litigants involved in the selection of the third judge. Okay, that's the machlokas number one between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and we already spoke at length in the last two shiurim about the about this machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and we spoke about Zavla, Zebra Lo Echad in general. We go on in the Mishnah. Zeh Poso Dayano Shozeh, Zeh Poso Dayano Shozeh, Divrei Rabbi Meir. I can disqualify your judge and you can disqualify my judge, meaning that in the scenario where we have a selection process in which I choose a judge and you choose a judge, so once you select the judge, I can take a look at your judge and I can say thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested in your judge. Your judge does not appeal to me. Rav Meir says that, and each one could do it to each other's judge. The Chachamim Omrim, Eimasai, and the Chachamim disagree, and they say, no, when is this true? Bizman Shemevi Aleim, Raya Shein Krovim Opsilim, only when a proof is brought that one of the judges is either related or objectively disqualified. The Mishnah later on is going to talk about what exactly are objective disqualifications. But in other words, unless you have proof that they're either related or disqualified, they simply cannot be disqualified for no reason. If, however, they are either kosher or they're experts, mipi bezdin, any ochel aposam, you have no ability to postle the other litigant's judge that he selected. Continuing.
The bezdin selects and then you pick one and two, and it's like a jury where. Mipi bezdin, which bezdin?
No, there were no. The Mishnah.
The city's bezdin.
No, Mishnah is just describing that they're experts.
Expert. The bezdin says they're
not. Yes.
They have a toudah.
Yeah.
So I say they must have a pool of people who have been approved by the bezdin, and then you can pick whichever you want. That's what it sounds like.
No. It just simply means I understand your point, but no. It just simply means they're kosher. They're kosher. The actual language of the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about. Yes. Okay. Now we get on to the third issue in the Mishnah, and perhaps the most exciting and the most surprising. I can passel the other litigant's witnesses, and the other litigant can passel my witnesses. Div Reb Meir. That is Reb Meir's opinion. And the Chachamim once again object, and they say, no, they can't possibly be. Only when you can bring a proof that they're either related or they're objectively passel. But if they're kasher, you have no right to disqualify the other person's witnesses. So there are two additional topics that are discussed in the Mishnah, which we haven't yet discussed, and we're going to do so right now. And that is in the Mishnah, Machlok Shem Rameh and the Chachamim, as to whether or not I can disqualify the other litigant's judge that he selected, and can I disqualify the other litigant's witnesses that he just selected. Now before we get to the Gemara inside, let's just talk this out outside, let's say it out loud. We can almost begin to understand Rameh's opinion as it relates to the disqualification of a judge. Meaning we're going through a process where, and we're kind of like what we discussed last week, where we're really trying to accomplish two things. We're trying to create a good court system, and we're also trying to placate the litigants. And we're trying to create a scenario in which everyone's going to be happy. Obviously, that's impossible. We're speaking about litigants who are at war with one another. We're speaking about people that are just, in general, going to be hard to please. Understandably, that's very difficult. But at least we can entertain the idea that you selected a judge, and you know what? I know him. I know his case. I know his history, right? You speak to attorneys nowadays. They know, you know, they know their judges, and they know basically how judges are going to go, and which way judges are going to, how judges are going to decide. So basically, I think we can even without the Gemara, and we're going to see the Gemara in just a moment. I think we can at least put together some sort of argument. How it would be possible that Reb Meir would say that I could disqualify your judge? And of course, mind you, let's say this also out loud as a parenthetical note. This is Reb Meir's position, meaning we don't hold like Reb Meir; we hold like the Chachamim. But at least I can understand. I mean, Reb Meir's a Shita; see, he's a Tana, and I can begin to understand Reb Meir's opinion. However, you move on to the next case of the Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah is nearly impossible to understand. What is Reb Meir saying in that next case in the Mishnah? If my co-litigant or my counter-litigant brings in a pair of witnesses and I'm right now not feeling them, I don't like them, or there's something about them that upsets me, so Reb Meir says, I can disqualify them. Difficult. That's really difficult to understand. That's hard. How in the world can you ever have any type of judicial system where I can seemingly, arbitrarily determine that, you know what, I don't like them. I'm sure we all figured this out. Of course you don't like them. They're right now currently testifying about you. What at this point in time would make them appeal to you to begin with? And meanwhile, Reb Meir says, if you want to, you could disqualify them. And the Chachamim's objection, that's solid, it's sound. The Chachamim say, no, you can't disqualify them unless there's something legitimately wrong with them. They're either related, they're Krovim, or they're Psulim, or they're disqualified. But you can't just simply say no to the other person's witnesses. Okay. So, what I'd like to do over the course of this afternoon, and this is going to be, it's probably going to take two shirim to do, and that is a defense of Reb Meir. Now, mind you, by the way, that when I say defense of Reb Meir, it's tarihi v'lo halacha, meaning the halacha is not like Reb Meir. But still, as a Tana in the Mishnah, it's a Shita, and it really demands our attention, deserves some of our attention. The Gemara itself was going to spend nearly a daf talking about the Shita of Meir. So I think it's well within the value of our time to come to some sort of understanding of what's going on with Reb Meir. So I'm going to do this in the context of the Gemara, meaning obviously the Gemara is really the backbone for this whole discussion. But just understand what our objective is today. Our objective today is to come to some sort of understanding of Reb Meir and try to wrap our heads around the Shita of Reb Meir. What we're going to do now is we're going to see some Gemara. In other words, basically where we left off last week. There's a little bit of Gemara that I'm going to skip, but we're going to start with the words called Apostle Diana, the two dots. Whatever. There's the style of the shiur is going to be more topical, so we're not going to be covering every Gemara. We're just going to be covering the sugyas within the Gemara. So Zeh Apostle Diana. So if you want to follow it together with me, we're in Chaf Gimel Med Aleph, and we're starting at the two dots where the Gemara is quoting the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So again, there are two issues. Number one, passing the other litigant's judge. Number two, passing the other litigant's witnesses. So the Gemara starts off with the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about passing the judges. The Gemara's question is a very simple one. Is it within the power? Meaning, what gives you the right to pass somebody else's judges? We're right now only talking about judges. I'm Rav Yochanan Ber Koshib Asur Yeshanu. So Rav Yochanan's response is, we're not talking about expert judges. Meaning, if the judges were mumcha, if they were expert, and by expert we mean that A, they know the halachas, and B, they also receive smicha, they received ordination, right? Smicha, not the smicha that's given nowadays. Smicha given nowadays is wonderful. It's right. It's obviously you have to have kavod harav, but in other words, but we don't have smicha nowadays in the sense that we don't have. Right, from Moshe to Yoshua to the Zizkenim. In other words, smicha, ish mi pi ish, from one person to the next. Smicha A has to be unbroken, although that's debatable. Rambam famous Shita is that you can reboot the smicha even after there was a pause, there was a lag. Okay, that's not for now. But smicha has to be unbroken for Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, debatable. And number two, it can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha cannot be given outside of Eretz Yisrael. So those are two conditions. But once you have somebody who is a mumcha, an expert, and he has smicha, so then, of course, you can't disqualify that person. He's certified. of the Mishnah, when Rav Meir says that I'm allowed to reject your judge, is only talking about when your judge is non-certified, he's a non-expert. The Gemara's terminology to describe this is kosher b'surya, but basically it means he's not certified, he's not qualified. Qualified enough where he can act as a dayan, as a judge, meaning one of those things which we know, but you know, we never really articulate, is that to be a dayan, so you don't have to be an expert. Right, just as a simple example, you know, in Erev Rosh Hashanah, so we make a Beis Din. I understand there it's a little bit looser in terms of the rules and regulations of Beis Din, you know, for Ataras Nedarim, but you know, we call it a Beis Din. Okay, any one of us experts in Hilchos Nedarim and knows the difference between a Pesach and a Charata, and really, you know, the words knows Shulchan Aruch, Shach Yerodea, Shach Taz on Hilchos Nedarim, and the answer obviously is no. And yet we sit and serve on the Beis Din. And the truth of the matter is that regarding a Beis Din, they don't have to be expert, they don't have to be proficient. It'd obviously be nice, you'd feel a little more confident, but to serve on a Beis Din, you don't have to have that. So the Gemara says that's what Rav Meir means. What Rabbi Meir means is that if I choose my judge and he's not an expert, then the other litigant can go ahead and disqualify him. So the Gemara tested whether or not this answer is in fact correct of Rav Yochanan. Avamum chumlo, the Gemara says, really? And an expert you can't disqualify? Hamidikshani seifa. But look at the seifa. Look at the Chachamim's objection to Rav Meir. V'chachamim omrim emasai, when is this true? Bizman shem evirai shein krovim apsulim. That's only when a proof is brought that they are related or they're disqualified. Aval im hayuk sherim. Oh, mumchim mipi Beis Din, right, Phil? This is what you raised earlier. But if the judges were either kasher, now kasher just simply means kasher, or they were experts, eino yichol leposlan. So then the chachamim say you can't disqualify them. Now you understand. Now we see the sheet of the chachamim. Rav Meir is arguing with the chachamim, so the gemara is now assuming mechlal. The Rav Meir mumchim nami kamar. That Rav Meir is telling you that I can disqualify. Whoever the Chachamim say you can't disqualify, that must mean Rav Meir says you can disqualify. And included in that was a mumcha. It sounds like from the Mishnah, when you contrast Rav Meir and the Chachamim, that Rav Meir allows the disqualification of mumcha. Hachi kamar, the Gemara says, no. This is what the Mishnah means. Avalim hayuk sherim, nase kim mumcha mipi bezin, vein rechol posla. So the Gemara says, no. The Pshat in the Mishnah is like this. According to the Chachamim, once a person's kasher, there's nothing wrong with him, per se. He's not related, and he's not pasul. He's a good Jew. Okay, not an expert, but he's good. So from the standpoint of disqualification, he's immune to disqualification. It's as if he were a mumcha. That's the way you're supposed to understand the Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, I'm a little Rav Meir, local Amen, Shapostal Dayan, Shemumcha L'Rabim. Here the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and in the Brisa, you see the Chachamim object to Rav Meir. It's not within the power that you are allowed to disqualify a judge who's Mumcha L'Rabim. He's an expert. Certainly sounds like that Rav Meir allows for the disqualification of an expert. Ama, the Gemara immediately rejects this suggestion. The Gemara says, let's say, local Amen, Shapostal Dayan, Shehimchuhu Rabim. Well, I'm sorry, Shimchu Rabim Aleihem. Well, says the Gemara, what is meant over here is not that he's objectively an expert, it's that he's the people's choice. Right? The people love him. It's the people have accepted him as a judge, even though objectively he's not an expert. Tanya Nami Hachid, the Gemara now is going to quote a brisa supporting this answer of Yochanan. Lo'olam posav aholech ashi kabal av beizin, shemum chal rabim divrei meir. So, the brisa says that every litigant can keep on disqualifying the judge. Right? That's your judge? I don't like him. That's your judge? I don't like him. And you can keep doing that until you get to a mumcha. And once you get to a mumcha, you stop. And whose opinion is this? Rabbi Meir. Oh, very good. V'ha'edim k'mumcha. I'm sorry, period. Period ad kan. Okay, so what we have now done in the Gemara is we have given a wonderful defense of Shitas Rabbi Meir, at least on the first part of the Mishnah. And the first part of the Mishnah where there was a discussion as to whether or not you can disqualify the other litigant's judge. Rabbi Meir says you can, the Chachamim say you can't. And now, how do you understand the Machlokas? The Gemara says, I'll tell you how to understand it. It's very simple. We're not talking about a Mumcha. If it's a Mumcha, even Rabbi Meir would concede he's untouchable. He is now impervious, he's immune to disqualification. The only nekuda machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is if he's just a guy, he's kosher. Okay? Not proficient, knows basic halachas of monetary law, has what's called a little bit of common sense, a little experience of life, perfect. That's the machlokes between Rameir and the Chachamim. But if he's a mumcha, then even Rameir would agree that you can't disqualify him. So far, so good.
Huh?
Unless he's a karov or apostle.
We're not going to be put there. And mumcha, does it go together?
No, no, no. In other words...
I understand, but if
okay.
Mumcha, I don't think it would be apostle.
Understood. Okay. Now, so far, so good. That takes us to the topic. Yes, sir. Huh? No, no, the Chachamim are saying that the only way you can disqualify him is if he's a Karev. Yes. Yes, that's correct. Okay, now we move on to the next part of the Gemara, and that is the following. And here we get on to really the meat of today's discussion, the heart of it, and that is, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah, where Rameir says, I can disqualify the other litigants' witnesses. Hard, very hard to understand. And the way the Gemara frames the question, the ha'edim k'mumchim dami. Witnesses are like experts. What does the Gemara mean by that? Look, when you have somebody who is coming in as an aide, okay, what kind of expertise do you need to be an aide? Here's what you need in terms of your expertise. You need to have a pair of eyes. You need to have ears. I guess read and write. I'm not... Yeah, you need a mouth, right? Very good. In other words, there's no school for Adam. There's no degree for Adam. When it comes to being an aide, all you need to do is... Right. All you need to do is just simply see, report what you saw. Congratulations now, you're an expert witness. Now, I know in America, you know, we make a big deal about expert witnesses, but expert witnesses, just give me one second. But expert witnesses, you know, obviously we're talking about a different judicial process, a whole different system. But in other words, expert witnesses are not testifying, they're, you know, giving information. But here, when you're talking about witness, all you need is a guy. And there's no level, meaning by Dayanus, what do we say? There's somebody who's either apostle or karov, he's disqualified. There's somebody who's a guy, okay, he could serve as a judge. And then you have an expert, and what good is it being an expert? First of all, you're an expert. And secondly, no one can disqualify you because you're an expert. Excuse me. But when we're talking about a witness, what are we talking about other than just simply a regular guy? He's an expert. And so now the Gemara says... Not consider the following. Va'edim k'mum chem dami. Witnesses are like experts. Va'amar Rav Meir. Zeh posel edo shel zeh. Vezeh posel edo shel zeh. And meanwhile, Rav Meir allows for the disqualification. And once you have an aide who can hear, see, and talk, he's no different than an expert judge. He's an expert. And Rav Meir says you could disqualify him. So that's difficult. And so basically what the Gemara is articulating now is, how do you understand Rameir as it relates to the disqualification of witnesses? So here we go. Now, I told you the Gemara speaks about this question for nearly a daf of Gemara. From this point, with the words Ha'itmar Allah, till the Gemara in Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to give answers. Now, the Gemara is going to give a total of four answers. This afternoon, we're going to be focusing on I'll say the first two answers. The first answer I'll read in the Gemara, I'll go through in the Gemara, but it's really not even going to be the part that we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the second answer of the Gemara. There are four answers in total, and today I'd like to focus on the second answer. I will first read through the first answer of the Gemara. Ha'it mar lam, Reish Lakish pei kadosh yom adav zeh. So the first answer of the Gemara is a citing of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, you have the holy mouth of Rav Meir, pei kadosh, lo amar adav zeh. Yomar Davar Zeh. He's going to say such a thing? Meaning, Reish Lakish says, I cannot believe that Rameir ever said it. There's no way he said it. It doesn't make sense. And therefore, Reish Lakish says, he didn't say it. Not that he didn't say it at all, but not the way that we have it recorded in our Mishnah. There's simply no way to understand and entertain the idea that a litigant to disqualify the witnesses are the litigant. How can that be? It can't. Therefore, Reish Lakish says, Tani Edo. When you go back to the Mishnah, you'll take out your pens. Please don't do this. You'll take out your pens. You'll cross out the words Edov, and instead you'll write the word Edo. Now, admittedly, by the way, it's a small editing correction of the Mishnah. All we're really doing is taking out the Yud of the Mishnah, and we move it from Edov to Edo. So our grammar for the day, what's the difference between a dove and a doe? A dove is a pair of witnesses. A doe means a single witness. Meaning that what happened over here is that the litigant did not bring a pair of witnesses, but only brought one witness. To which the Gemara says, Lamai. A doe Lamai. Really, and one witness, what good is one witness? Ilem Lamamon. If we're talking about extracting money, Sarechman Apostle. One witness, in terms of extraction of money, you need two witnesses, right? Basic tenet of jurisprudence. You need two, not one. And Elish Shvua, and if you want to tell me that I'm trying to extract a Shvua out of him, so Haman and Mehemek and Betray. So we know the halach is that in order to make the other litigant make a Shvua, all you need is one witness. And the Torah believes one witness, Ki Elu, as if it's two witnesses. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have now obviously a problem. Even if we're reducing Rav Meir and the Mishnah from two witnesses down to one witness, what good is one witness? So La Olam La Mamon, the Gemara says, no. We're really talking about Mamon, Lo Tzricha De Kabla Ela Kebei Trei. So the Gemara says, and what happened was, is that before they went into litigation, before they sat down in the courtroom, they made an agreement, right, prenuptial, but we're not talking about marriage. In other words, before actually sitting down in front of the judges, they made an agreement, a concession with one another. You know, all I have is one witness, and the other one says, look, I don't want to fight anymore. I want shalom. You have one witness. That's fine. We'll go to court, and even though the Torah says you need two, but I'll tell you what, as a concession between you and me, listen, any way I want shalom, you want one witness? Fine, I'll bring one witness. And they agreed before going to court that one witness would work. So the Gemara says, "L'tzricha dekabla alei kebei trei." So we accepted this one witness as if it's two. So my kamashal and dematzah hadabei. And now what comes out from our Mishnah? Comes out from the Mishnah the following. This is again all answer number one of Reish Lakish. That really our Mishnah is talking about where there are not two witnesses, but rather there's one witness. What good is one witness? They made a concession prior to going to court that they're going to accept one witness. The Gemara says, and now what are we learning? We're now learning together that Ramirez says that even though concession was made, and even though the other litigant said it was okay, but you know what? Thank you, but no thank you. Now that I hear what that one litigant has to say, I'm backing out of the deal. I conceded to one witness. I no longer concede to one witness. So to which the Gemara says, oh, that's so interesting. The Gemara says, my kamashmalan, demati adabe. So the whole chiddush now is that Rameir says that you can retract. The Gemara says, tanina. Yeah, you know what? We're going to learn this together in the next Mishnah. Amalo neman alai abba, neman alai avicha, neman alai gimel roi bakar. In fact, we're going to learn together in the next Mishnah. Right, coming up in Chavdalam and Aleph. That let's say the two litigants make a concession with one another. You know, my father is excellent, right? He's fair, he's judicious, he's got great common sense. Would you mind? I know he's a Karov, and he's my father, he's related to me. But would you mind if we allowed him to be one of the three judges? Is that okay with you? Now again, under normal circumstances, of course he can't do that. But what if they agree, pre-trial? What if they agree? So the Mishnah later on says, fine. Rav Meir Omer Yachol Achzer Bo. And in the next Mishnah we're going to learn together that Rav Meir says that you can retract. The Chachamim Omer Yachol Achzer Bo. The Chachamim say, no, you cannot. You cannot retract. V'amar, we're now on the top of Chagim Amid Beis. V'amar Rav Dimi Breid, Rav Nachman Breid, Rav Yosef Kigon, the Kibla Ela Bechad. And we're speaking about a situation in which we accepted either my father or your father as one of the three judges. I mean, there are two other judges, and the two other judges are perfectly qualified, and we're just adding our father, either mine or yours, as the third judge. Wait one second. You'll see what's going on. We accepted him as one judge. And now what comes out from that Mishnah, which again we haven't seen yet, but it's coming up on Chav Da'alin, is that Rameir says that even though we agreed, and even though we made a concession, at any point in time, I can back out from that concession. The Gemara is going to ask your question.
When they equate the same thing with the Eidim, when you said after the
let's say during the trial.
Right.
During.
Before the Eidus also.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just give me one second. Let me just finish this thought. Let me finish this thread of Gemara. So here's what bothers the Gemara now. It comes out that the way Reish Lakish is explaining our Mishnah, it comes out now that there really is no difference between the Mishnah in Chav Gimel and the Mishnah in Chav Dalet. What's the Mishnah in Chav Gimel teaching us? If you make a concession prior to the trial, and then you sit down during the trial, and you want to back out of your concession, Reb Meir says it's okay. That's exactly what's being taught on the Mishnah in Chav Dalet. And the Gemara says now, the only problem with Reish Lakish's answer, aside from the fact that you're editing a Mishnah, the only problem with Reish Lakish's answer is that our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Chav Dalet are teaching us the same point. You've been around long enough, you learn long enough, you'll know the Mishnah is not interested in being repetitive. The Mishnah is going to teach us a Chiddush, and the Mishnah is going to move on to another Chiddush. And now comes out the same Chiddush. So the Gemara says, well, maybe no. Maybe it's really necessary. If we only had the Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet of my father and your father being one of the three judges, I can understand the Shita of the Chachamim that you can't retract Mishnah Daba Vavicha Chazal Alma. Because look, my dad, super judicious. Now, in this particular case, he can't serve as the judge. But if you plug him into any other Beis Din, on any other case, he would be fine. So I understand the Chacham's position that you cannot retract from your concession, because the truth of the matter is, you made a very small concession. All you did was insert dad into this particular case over here, which again, I understand, you can't do that. But you conceded, and really dad, objectively, not in this case, but objectively, is a good judge. But in our Mishnah, what kind of concession you made? You made a huge concession. I'm going to accept one witness as if there are two witnesses. One witness for money, for extraction of money, never is good enough. And you made a concession, that's a huge concession. So I might have thought that although the Chachamim say in the next Mishnah, Chav Dalet, you can't retract, maybe in our Mishnah they would say you can. So, and then we could just simply argue in the opposite direction. Meaning if all I had was the Mishnah and Chav Gimel, where you're making this huge concession that we're going to accept one witness as if it's two, so there I can understand a Rav Meir's position that you can retract. But if I didn't have the Mishnah and Chav Dalet, where all we're doing is making a small concession, smaller concession, my father will be one of the three judges. So to which the Gemara says, I might have thought that Rav Meir would agree to the Chachamim, Tzricha. So the Gemara says, therefore, both Mishnayos are necessary. To all this, the Gemara then ends up saying, it's hard to accept this answer provided by Reish Lakish. Even after all said and done. Why? Midiktani Reisha Dayano V'Seifa Eidav Amadavka Katani. As Rashi explains the Gemara over here, what happens in the Mishnah is the Mishnah went from the words Dayano, which is singular, to Eidav. Meaning, what basically bothers Gemara is, Reish Lakish is arguing is that there was an editor's mistake in the Mishnah. Somebody made a mistake. What the Gemara is arguing is, I can understand if the shift were the same shift in the Mishnah. Meaning, if we went from plural to plural, or from singular to singular, I understand that you can make the argument that somebody made a mistake. But in the Mishnah, we went from the words Dayano, which is singular, to a dove, which is plural, and that's too deliberate. Meaning nobody would have done that by mistake. So the Gemara therefore ends up rejecting this answer of Reish Lakish. Okay. So Amadavka Katani. Okay, it's good. So what we have now done is we have seen the first attempted answer of the Gemara's question. Let's reset the question. Let's set ourselves up for now the second answer, which is really, time is running out, what I'd like to spend today and next Monday discussing. Yes?
Is there a difference in the reason for the concession? If I make a concession with you before the court,
no.
Because we both agree that we want to come to a solution and it's easy. Or if I make a concession to you, only because that's the only way I can get you to come to the
basement. Ah, very interesting. So there are different motivations. We're going to, when we go to the Mishnah on Chav Dalet, we're going to speak more about this idea of concession. And we'll talk a little bit more of what even gave us the right to make the concession. And so to say, rewrite the law books. We're going to talk more about that when we do the Mishnah on Chav Dalet. In the meantime, however, here's what I would like to do. I would like to spend time now with our second answer of our question. How can Rav Meir allow the disqualification of the other litigants' witnesses? Judges, okay, they are not expert judges. Witnesses, how can that be? How can it be? So the Gemara's now second answer goes like this. Amar Reb Elazar. So Reb Elazar says as follows. Bebahu v'acher leposlan. Okay. There are a lot of people involved in this particular case over here, so if I may, let's go over some names. Okay. In terms of the other litigants' witnesses, let's call them Reuven and Shimon. Okay, let's keep it simple. Let's say I'm the litigant who right now wants to disqualify them, who currently wants to disqualify them, and Reuven and Shimon now are currently testifying against me. We're back to two witnesses. Okay. And the Gemara says, this is now Rav Elazar's answer. Excuse me. I'm going to do is, on my own, I can't disqualify anybody. I'm only one. In order to disqualify anybody, you need a pair of witnesses. Okay, so I'm going to ask Phil to join me. So Phil now is going to join me. So me, together with Phil, are going to disqualify Reuven and Shimon, who's currently testifying against me. Oh, very good. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar bevahu v'acher. So me and somebody else, okay, I nominated Phil, leposlan. We're going to pass to those two witnesses who are currently testifying about me. The question, which hopefully every one of you is thinking right now, is... It's two against two.
And what the basis is here?
We'll be machish. It's hachasha.
Okay. The litigant, you don't need.
Very good. So the Gemara says, Kol kamine no geabi do so who. So the Gemara says, how in the world can I say anything about the two of them when I have a vested interest? And now this brings us to the discussion, which I want to spend more time on. We will next week. We'll just right now get familiar with the Gemara's answer. And that is, the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. I'm no geah badavar. I have a vested interest. Even though I brought together with me Phil. So now we're two. And it's going to be two against those two. Okay, and I understand who to believe, etc., etc. But I have a vested interest. There's no way that I should be able to say anything about them currently, because currently they're testifying about me. Amar of Acha Bereder of Ika Kagon Shikara Alav Irer. So the Gemara says right now is that, well, you know what Phil and I are doing? We're throwing out the challenge flag. Okay? Kara Alav Irer. We're protesting to those two right now. Meaning it's not really germane to the particular case at hand. It's just that we're protesting against them. We don't like them. So the Gemara says, Ira Damai. Well, what do you mean? What exactly are we protesting? Ilema ira de gazlanusa. So are Phil and I right now protesting to the idea that we know that they're gazlanim? Reuven and Shimon are currently testifying about me. Hey, they're thieves. They're known thieves. Now, let's see. Let's even say that Phil and I know that they were already convicted once before of thievery. They're thieves. So the Gemara says, "Kol kaminino gebei dusahu." Okay, it's still. Right now, as I'm currently the litigant in a case where it happens to be those two witnesses are testifying about me right now, I'm just in no position to say anything. I'm no geah badavar. People understand that right now I'm saying something about them, but only because I have a vested interest. It'd be a lot better and certainly more believable if I said it outside of this context. But in this context, Tom, who's going to believe me? Ela ira de begam mishbacha. So the Gemara says, okay, so what Phil and I are saying about these two, about Reuven Shimon, is Pegam Mishpacha. Pegam Mishpacha, nothing about them per se. They're wonderful people, salt of the earth. Reuven and Shimon, we love you. But it just happens to be that we have something to say regarding their family. They come from a family, Rashi says, an Evan. They are descendants of Avadim. In other words, they come from a family who simply cannot testify in a court of law. Right? An Eved Kenani, cannot testify in a Jewish court of law. Period. The Gemara later on, bases on a Kal v'chomer. It's just, in other words, that's the halacha. They're pasul le'edus. And they're pasul le'edus. And again, nothing even to do with them and their actions. In fact, I'll tell you what. Phil and I are not even talking about them. We're talking about their family. It's right now testimony about their family. That's what we're doing. To which the Gemara says, Rav Meir Savar Hani HaMishpacha Kamisadei V'yim Mimeil HaKapasel. So now what's Rav Meir Shita? Rav Meir Shita is, we could do that. Why? Because we're not testifying about them. Reuven and Shimon are wonderful. Wonderful people. Right? We had them over for dinner the other night. They're great. The problem is that they just simply come from a family who can't testify in a court of law. And it's nothing personal. Right? Women can't testify in a court of law. It's certainly nothing personal. It's just simply the halacha. Here too, it's just simply the halacha. So the Gemara says, that is the shita of Rabbi Meir. And Rabban and Savre, sof sof nagei beidusahu. And the Chachamim say, sof sof, look, come on. Let's all be a little bit smarter. And we know that ultimately, they are really testifying about the family, but only so that we can impugn Reuven and Shimon, so that they won't come and testify about me. Okay. Ad kan. And in terms of setting ourselves up for next week, let's think this through for just a moment. So right now we have a shita in the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that one can disqualify the judges of the other litigant, one can disqualify the witnesses of the other litigant. Those are the shitas of Rabbi Meir. In terms of the disqualification of the judges, so we learned together, the Gemara taught us that it's possible at least to entertain Rabbi Meir's shita because they're not mumchim. And if they're not mumchim, even Rabbi Meir, not even, Rabbi Meir would then and only then say that you can passel them. But once they're mumchim, then even Rabbi Meir would say that you can't passel them. Okay. What about Rabbi Meir's shita about passeling the other one's witnesses? So we saw together an attempt made by Reish Lakish in terms of how can you passel the other witnesses? Edit the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't mean witnesses. The Mishnah meant witness. There was a concession made, a pre-trial concession that was made, and to which the Gemara says, "It's the answer in of itself seems to be right, but grammatically, textually, doesn't seem like the Mishnah made a mistake." The Gemara moves on to the second answer, and what we're going to do next week is we're going to analyze the second answer, in which the second answer says that really the Machlok Shirameh and the Chachamim is that I am not coming by myself. I'm coming together with somebody else. We are now a pair of witnesses. We are not testifying about them. We can't. I'm no Gabba Dover. We are testifying about their father. And Rameir says, okay, their families. Rameir says, I'm not testifying about them. I'm testifying about their families. And the Chachamim said, sof sof, we all know what's going on over here. And what we're going to do next week is see if we can still do a better job, so to say, understanding the Shita of Rameir. The Chachamim is easier to hear and easier to understand. I think the Chachamim intuitively appeal to us a little bit better. Next week we're going to see if we can even understand Rav Meir a little bit better, and we're going to uncover what's really going on the issue of Nogea B'Davar, which is really going to be the core issue for this sugya. Okay, I'll stop here.